Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is the story behind a group of Mormon men referred to as the Danites? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at the book Saints, The Standard of Truth, a history book published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 2018. We've been talking about some of the dissent that took place in Missouri, especially during the late 1830s when Joseph Smith had made some very bad decisions regarding, for instance, the Kirtland Bank, and a lot of members started to lose faith in Joseph Smith. This did not end swiftly. It went on for a while. So now we're in 1838, and as we've been discussing this week, Sidney Rigdon, who is really, as I understand it, Joseph Smith's right-hand man, came out with a sermon called the Salt Sermon. And in that sermon, he harshly criticized and even threatened those that were criticizing the LDS church leadership. Now, we've already discussed basically what the Salt Sermon was about, how it was remembered by some of those who had heard it. Even though there is no transcript of the sermon in existence today, so all we can do is piece together some of the comments made by people who were aware of this message. And definitely, it had some very threatening content in it from what we have available to us today. But now, we're going to talk about something that had happened just prior to the Salt Sermon, and that was the organization of the Danites. And this is mentioned on page 314 of the book Saints.
Sidney's sermon had emboldened some saints who had banded together a week earlier to defend the church against dissenters. These men went by several names, but they were best known as the Danites, after the tribe of Dan in the Old Testament. Joseph did not organize the group, yet he likely sanctioned some of their actions. In their eagerness to defend the church, the Danites vowed to protect the saints' rights against what they saw as threats from inside and outside the church. Many of them had seen how dissent had unraveled the community in Kirtland, placed Joseph and others at risk of mob attacks, and endangered the ideals of Zion. Together, they pledged to protect the community at Far West against any similar threat.
As we mentioned earlier in this series, we are referring to another book that goes into, I think, much deeper detail, which fills in some of the blanks here, because even though the Danites are mentioned later on in this book, Saints, it doesn't really give you a lot of the story behind it. So we're going to take you again to a book titled Sidney Rigdon, A Portrait of Religious Excess. It was written by a Mormon historian, Richard Van Wagner, and I think it's important to see what he has to say on this subject because it will give you a better understanding of what this group was all about. Beginning on page 216, at the very top of the page, Van Wagner says, "The prophet and his spokesman ventured beyond mere boastful rhetoric. John Whitmer's account of the period notes that the First Presidency called together a council of church leaders to discuss how to deal with dissidents."
Smith stated, quote, "that any person who said a word against the heads of the church should be driven over these prairies as a chased deer by a pack of hounds," end quote. Putting teeth into the rhetoric, a clandestine army of Israel was formed from organizational remnants of Zion's camp, bound together by Machiavellian artifice into a brotherly union. Members swore fraternal oaths to, quote, "always uphold the First Presidency, right or wrong," end quote, and to assist in the, quote unquote, "utter destruction of apostates."
And as we were mentioning yesterday, there were some pretty serious threats made against some of those who were critical of the LDS church leadership. Now, this putting together of this clandestine army of Israel, as Van Wagner has quoted here, This was on June 10th, 1838. June 17th is when the Salt Sermon comes forward by Sidney Rigdon. If you're going to make these kind of threats against some of those who are critical of your movement, how are you going to enforce those threats? If you can't enforce it, it becomes mere rhetoric, and nobody's scared of that. I mean, they might criticize you for the rhetoric, but there's really no threat in just rhetoric alone. So in order to put some force behind the words, they have what you might call their own hitmen that are going to carry out the dictates of what Sidney Rigdon has threatened in his Salt Sermon. And let's not forget, folks, Joseph Smith, after Sidney Rigdon gave this sermon, got up and condoned what Sidney Rigdon had said. So you have not only Sidney Rigdon saying this, you have Joseph Smith, the leader of the movement, the top two guys at this time, you could say, coming out with these threats, and they're going to make these threats good by having these men enforce what the leadership wants them to do.
He goes on and writes, according to later court testimony and other firsthand corroborative accounts, this secret brotherhood was initially known by various titles as the Daughters of Zion, from Micah 4:13, Brother of Gideon, a veiled reference to Jared Carter's brother, and the Big Fan, or the Thresher, to separate the wheat from the chaff. Eventually, they settled on the Sons of Dan, or Danites. Quote, Dan shall judge his people, end quote, read Genesis 49:16-17, as, quote, a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backwards, end quote. Later in Deuteronomy 33:22, quote, Dan is a lion's whelp, end quote. At first, the group acted as secret thought police, charged to ferret out any who were critical of the hierarchy, then force them out of the community through intimidation.
Let me stop you there, because this is almost like a religious police state now. And when the phrase thought police is in quotation marks, they're looking for anybody who not only has verbally criticized the leadership, but even those they may suspect might be critical of the leadership. Imagine yourself, folks, living in this kind of a society at that time. Now, I know this is a tense situation. They're living in an area of the country, and a lot of the people that they are living among, these Missourians, are not real happy with the Mormons being there. Joseph Smith has kind of set the stage for a lot of the criticism that they are receiving from the Missourians. They are not innocent. So whenever you hear stories about the persecution of the Latter-day Saints during the Missouri period, you have to keep in mind that the Mormons were not completely without blame. You have Joseph Smith supporting what Sidney Rigdon said. Now, don't you think that the word from the Salt Sermon is starting to get out? And then later on, the next month, you're going to have Sidney Rigdon's July 4th oration. The July 4th oration was certainly a threat against those that are outside of the church. And this is where that phrase war of extermination comes into play by Sidney Rigdon. Now, Governor Lilburn Boggs will use that type of language later on, but it was Sidney Rigdon who used it first. The governor uses it later. But now you've got this organization of men that are going to carry out some of these dictates that are coming down from the top. Van Wagner goes on to say on page 216, Samson Avard, Major General of the Danites, later testified during a court hearing that the intent of the band, quote, was to drive from the county of Caldwell all that dissented from the Mormon Church. Van Wagner goes on to say that this assessment was confirmed by George W. Robinson, who was Joseph Smith's scribe. And then he says this, who, presumably under the prophet's direction, wrote in what's called the Scriptory Book of Joseph Smith Jr. What did he say in that document, the Scriptory Book of Joseph Smith Jr.?
We have a company of Danites in these times, July 27, 1838, to put right physically that which is not right, and to cleanse the church of very great evils, which hath hitherto existed among us, inasmuch as they cannot be put to right by teachings and persuasions, end quote.
Page 216 ends by saying this: once Mormon dissidents were driven from far west, the Danites became a home guard militia of nearly 300 men. They then evolved into a punitive force that raided and plundered native Missourians. See, that's the evidence that supports what I said earlier. The Mormons were not innocent in all this. Now, certainly, they may not have been the first to be the aggressors. They may have been defending themselves in some cases, but now the roles are starting to switch here. Those who once defended themselves now become the aggressors. And so they are going to be doing things that I think even modern Latter-day Saints would find questionable. But the problem I have is many times when you read Mormon sources, they give you the impression that the Mormons were doing nothing but being good Mormons. And yet those people, because they hated Joseph Smith and they hated the restored gospel, did their best to try to get rid of the Latter-day Saints as if they had done nothing at all wrong.
The next line says that the group also acquired the popular name of Destroying Angels. Now, that's an interesting term, Destroying Angel, because we have somebody who is known as the Destroying Angel who played a role in early Mormonism as far as retribution for things that have been done against Joseph Smith or the church.
And that man was Orrin Porter Rockwell. If you've ever been to Draper, Utah, you will find that there are a number of places named after Orrin Porter Rockwell. And I've often said you can tell a lot about a people group by the heroes they have. If you wanted to get on the I-15 South from 123rd South, you'll find that there's a huge relief of the face of Orrin Porter Rockwell. He's not hard to distinguish from anyone else because he was known for this long hair that he had.
There's a Porter Rockwell Trail in Draper, and also we have the Rockwell Park, we have Rockwell Square Condominiums, Rockwell Estates. He's, for some reason in Draper, he's a hero.
Yeah, and it all depends really on your perspective. If you're a Latter-day Saint, you look at Orrin Porter Rockwell as being a hero. If you're not a Latter-day Saint and you're on the receiving end of some of the things he may have said or done, then of course Orrin Porter Rockwell is nothing more than a thug. But Rockwell was a Danite, as well as Bill Hickman, who was also a Danite. Now, Hickman doesn't join the church till after this time period, but Hickman becomes the bodyguard of Brigham Young. Now, again, it's perspective. Either he's a bodyguard of Brigham Young, or he's Brigham Young's assassin. So it's all in the eye of the beholder.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When sharing your faith with a Latter-day Saint, it helps to know what their church has taught on several basic topics. For this reason, Mormonism Research Ministry has provided its Crash Course Mormonism. Crash Course Mormonism includes concise articles highlighting what LDS leaders and church manuals have taught on issues that will probably come up in a typical conversation. You can find these informative articles at CrashCourseMormonism.com. That's CrashCourseMormonism.com.